Blog Talk Radio.
Again, welcome out there, you good people on Blog Talk Radio. This is your host and friend, the Sand Tiger, DJ Southeast Vince, coming at you from a place called Durham, North Carolina. And if you would like to be a guest to call in to the show, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. 5284, and you can call in and talk about anything related to the subject matter, and I will have to give you a word of warning. I will not tolerate excessive profanity, trolling, ad hominem attacks, character assassination, things of that sort. That will prompt me to push the kick button, and you will go bye-bye. I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. Just be sure your questions and comments are respectful, and you should have a good time on this show. Hey there, Dead Shepherd. What's cracking, man? I would like to apologize to my listeners for whatever happened last week, and it really was no fault of my own. Last week, I was chomping at the bit. Really chomping at the bit to talk about this this Juneteenth thing, and we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about Juneteenth today. The show that I had for last week, I just pushed it up to this week, and something concerning an article I read in The Root. And if anyone's familiar with The Root, it is a pro-black website. And the Apostles of Blackness just love that. They love it. They love going there to get their talking points and get their latest craze about what the white man is doing. But last week, for some reason, the show just kept cutting off. And I was pretty frustrated because like I said, I was chomping at the bit. I was like, oh, man, last week, I was like, man, I don't need a plan for a show. I got this, you know. And it just kept cutting off. And I said, you know what, bump it, you know, we'll check it out again this week and see what's going on. And it seems like everything is going good. Can I get a check from everybody in the chat room? You know, if you can hear me, or if you can't hear me, well, if you can't hear me, you won't be able to hear this. But if you can give me a check, just let me know that you can hear me. But anyway, let's see. Got Dead Shepherd in the house. I got Flycatch. I got my sister Yahweh Kai, and I also got Robert Garding, I believe, who is the host of Conservative Nation Media. And let me just go on into this. I probably won't have as much of the fire that I would have had last week when I talk about this, but we're still going to do this thing. You all know that last Saturday, which was the 19th, was deemed a national holiday called Juneteenth. And Juneteenth commemorates the day when a Union general entered Galveston, Texas. And there were still blacks who thought they were, there were blacks who were still enslaved, and no one had told them that they were free. And this general told them, hey, you guys are free. I think it was 200,000 of them. And they learned that day that they were free. So that's basically what that day commemorates. That's all there is to it. And I was never taught about Juneteenth growing up. Juneteenth was something I learned not too long ago, probably about, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago. I can't remember the exact time when I learned about Juneteenth. And over the years, people may have been making a big deal about it. They've been saying things like, this is the day that black people, this is black people's real day of independence, not 4th of July. It's Juneteenth. And my thing is this. Wow, okay, I got you there, Dead Shepherd. He said he never heard of it until the day before it became a national holiday. Yeah, and most people haven't. Most people haven't heard of Juneteenth. It wasn't taught to us, even by our black teachers coming up in school. No one taught this to us. And the problem I have with Juneteenth, first of all, is the slaves, the Emancipation Proclamation had already been signed into law 2.5 years earlier. And Juneteenth began June 19th of 1865. And the 13th Amendment had been enacted on January the 1st of that year. Now, the slaves that were told that they were free on Juneteenth, they're a relatively small group of slaves. And it was only these slaves in Galveston, Texas. So I don't understand why this is a national holiday. Now, don't get me wrong. If you want to celebrate Juneteenth, that's on you. That's fine. That's good. But the rest of us don't need it shoved down our throats. And basically, I think Juneteenth was passed because we want to carry on this critical race theory narrative that has just been catching steam lately. I mean, someone gave it a can of Red Bull, and it is just gone off the rails. Really. And I've even had people who I know in the church, Christian people, telling me like, hey, this is the real day of the black person's independence, Juneteenth. Now, my response to that would be, okay, well, if there had never been a 4th of July, there never would have been a Juneteenth. And that's one of the major reasons why I don't celebrate Juneteenth. Now, if you want to do it, that's fine. That's fine. You do you. But don't look at me as a black man and call me a traitor or whatever because I don't celebrate Juneteenth, because I have no love for Juneteenth. Let me just say that. And to be honest with you, I'm glad Flycatch said what he said. Far too many blacks still living on the plantation reaching out for handouts. A lot of us still aren't free because we think the government is supposed to be the ones to make life better for us. So you can sit there and talk about Juneteenth being a day of your actual freedom, but a lot of you all really are not free because you are still dependent on the government to get your little grievances handled or whatever. And I don't, look, and like I said, all it does is push another narrative of critical race theory. And, you know, I'm going to talk about that on another show. If I don't talk about it today, you know, because you got a lot of people who are standing up against this critical race theory, the 1619 Project, and they're trying to teach it to our kids in school. And all critical race theory does is teach black people to hate white people, because black people, they're taught, are always going to be victims, and white people are always going to be privileged. That's all that mess teaches. And it teaches black people that you cannot get ahead because white people will always step over you to get the best food at the smorgasbord. Let's just say that. White people will always have an advantage. No, because of the color of your skin, you're always going to be disadvantaged to the white man, because the white man holds the power. The only way you can get a head up is if the government comes in and makes some certain provisions for you so that you can get a leg up on the white man. The government comes in and says, you don't have to make, your grades don't have to be as, does, your grades don't have to be as high as those of the white man, so we can give you an advantage because, you know, you're not able to make the same grades that white people do, which to me that sounds racist. And that's a good question, Dent Shepherd. If black folk woke up tomorrow and all whites were gone, would there be no hate racism in the world? I wonder that myself. And to be honest with you, I don't think a lot of the apostles of blackness are going to be happy until black people are no longer convicted of criminal activity, and when all white people have ceased to exist. I do believe that. Because they can, you know, they come up with Juneteenth, they're still going to cry about racism. They still gonna cry, boo-hoo, boo-hoo, we're victims, boo-hoo, give us another holiday. That's all they're gonna do. And that's why I don't get caught up in this thing. And see, people, let me tell you all something. Even though I come from a conservative perspective, My job is not to make more conservatives. My job is to point people to the truth. And being a person who is a Christian, I am going to be about the truth. I don't care what your political affiliation is. I care about the truth. If Republicans are perpetuating a lie, I'm going to point it out to them and say that is a lie. Same with the Democrats, same with the Libertarians. I don't give a rip pair of jeans about your political affiliation. So it bothers me when I see Christians, so-called Christians, followers of Jesus, following this same path as those who follow, you know, critical race theory. Oh, the white man are always, the white man is always going to have an upper hand. So how are you sit there and you singing hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, I'm free and all this. And then you turn around and say the white man is always going to have the advantage. And you call yourself a Christian? This is what I don't understand about black people. Black Christians, so to speak, black church folks. I don't understand that. It boggles my mind. How are you still carrying on the victimhood mentality, but you're saying you've been made free in Jesus, but you still want to talk about your grievances against the white man? I don't get that. I seriously do not get that. Someone please enlighten my mind. Why people who think, who say they are following after Jesus, they still want to follow after this line of critical race theory? Folks, let me tell you all something. Whatever hatred I had for white people, which I really didn't have a lot of hatred for white people, but whatever hatred I had for white people, it disappeared on October the 21st, 1986. Why do I mention that date? That's the day I became a born-again Christian. And I stopped judging people by the color of their skin and by the content of their character, as the famous Martin Luther King Jr. said in his I Have a Dream speech. But a lot of us in the church still want to follow this skin color mentality. And once again, like I said, I don't get it. I really don't get it. It really, people, please enlighten me. And oh my goodness, Flycatch, please, you all need to stop putting these, y'all need to stop putting these little words of wisdom into my chat room, because you're making it very easy for me to do a show. Flycatch says China is taking over Africa and treating the African natives as slaves. So true. My wife has a brother who lives in Liberia, and certain Chinese companies came over there, and the way they treated the Liberians was just like slaves. They didn't care about their safety. You know, her brother had an injury. He had to get stitches. They still wanted him to work. He caught malaria a couple of times. They still wanted him to work. And that is so true. Yeah, yellow people can be racist too. Just be a black person and go to China. Be a black person, go to China. Oh, yeah. But anyway, I'm kind of straying off the path right now. I wanted to share with you all this article I found at The Root. And let's see. Let me get this up. This article at The Root. This was... I think I pulled this up from The Root on the day before Juneteenth. And the editor's day, I mean, the author's name is Michael Harriet. And this is at The Root. You know, The Root, the blacker the content, the sweeter the truth. That's funny. A lot of things that term black can be rotten too. But anyway, I digress. The name of the article is Make Juneteenth Great Again, The Caucasian's Guide to Celebrating Juneteenth. And the subheading says, now that Juneteenth is a federal holiday, we created a critical race theory free educational curriculum to help colonizer Americans resist the urge to gentrify this celebration. Of course, you know, colonizer is code word for white folks. And this reporter wants to make sure that white people keep their hands off of our holiday. This is our holiday. So why you make it national, and why are you trying to shove it down the throats of white people? But anyway, once again, I digress, and let me go on. Hold up, white people. Now that you have officially discovered Juneteenth, you need to become familiar with the traditions, customs, and history, lest you succumb to the Caucasian colonization gene and gentrify this auspicious celebration. Now, if I were a white person, I would be insulted right now. I would take offense to what I had just read if I were a white person. But let me go on. Before hopping on the Juneteenth bandwagon, you first need to realize that you have no say in driving the narrative about this special day. So why are you celebrating Juneteenth becoming a national holiday? That's my question. Left to your devices, Juneteenth might become a day when you parade around in African head wraps, drinking Hennessy, just like y'all celebrate Mexican Independence Day on May 5th by donning sombreros and taking shots of American tequila. So to protect the legacy of this special day, The Root created this handy-dandy guide to help you become familiar with existing in spaces you don't own. I feel a little bit of arrogance coming out from this article. Now, the very same thing that they accuse white people of, they're guilty of it in this article. Welcome to the Juneteenth Project. Let me go on. What Juneteenth is, as Dr. Henry Louis Gates wrote for The Root in 2013, yep, we covered Juneteenth for years. Okay, good for you then. Juneteenth is the most popular annual celebration of emancipation from slavery in the United States. Really? So how come most of us who are black haven't heard of Juneteenth until within the last few years? It commemorates the day when enslaved people in Galveston, not in the country as a whole, in Galveston, Texas, found out they were free. So why are we making this a national holiday? Someone please enlighten my mind. Let me go on. To be clear, it's not the only celebration. Washington, D.C. has an annual Emancipation Day. I never knew about that, and I grew up in D.C. Some cities commemorate the passage of the 13th Amendment with Freedom Day. Never heard of that before. Perhaps the most well-known celebration is the Watch Night Services, a tradition that dates back to 1862 when enslaved people gathered in churches on New Year's Eve to wait for the Emancipation Proclamation to go into effect. Then they went to the club and ate collard greens and black eyed peas. And the little heading, the little footnote there says, if you're not black, you probably don't understand that joke. See, once again, they're condescending to white folks. But I never heard of the Watch Night Services. I've heard of black people waiting for January the 1st of 1865 or 1862 to come around when the Emancipation Proclamation came around. But we never had Watch Night Services to commemorate that day. So I don't know what he's talking about. But let me go on. Has another part of the article titled, What Juneteenth Is Not. Juneteenth is not the Black 4th of July. Well, you need to tell that to your black proponents, because a lot of them are like, 4th of July is not our day of, it's not our day of independence. It's Juneteenth. That's our day of independence. Even though Juneteenth affected a relatively small group of black people. It does not commemorate the end of slavery. The use of black bodies as white people's wealth-building human chattel didn't officially end until the ratification of the 13th Amendment. Also, America's actual Independence Day is July 2nd, 1776. Don't worry, we know you people don't know a lot about true history. Once again, taking pot shots at white folks. Excuse me, but the ratification of the 13th Amendment occurred on January the 1st of 1865, which is almost 6 months before this so-called Juneteenth occurred. So who doesn't know their history? Juneteenth is not reparations. Okay, so stop talking about them. Making Juneteenth a holiday does not absolve the country of its past, nor does it make up for any of the injustices. Black people were going to celebrate anyway. You speak for all black people? I'd like to ask you that question. You speak for all black people? Because you certainly don't speak for me, because I don't celebrate it. Anything white, now see, listen to this. This is so condescending. If anything, white people should be thanking us for a day off. Oh, let's see. We got 4th of July. We got Easter. We got Memorial Day. We got Labor Day. We got Thanksgiving. We got Christmas. So why should we be thanking you all for another day off? You see how condescending and arrogant this writer is? This folks, this is crazy. This is crazy stuff. This is real crazy. But anyway, let me go on. Let me go on. I got to continue reading this. Let me keep down here. Juneteenth is not the racism vaccine. Okay, so why are you making such a big deal about it? Celebrating Juneteenth does not make you an ally or an anti-racist any more than going Christmas shopping with two friends means you're the three wise men. Once again, and see, here's the thing, and this is why I get ticked off with guilty white people. You can sit there, you can patronize black people all you want to. It's not giving you any browning points with them. They will still, at the end of the day, they will still see you as a privileged white man. They don't care. You can sit there and talk about, yeah, I understand slavery, and me as a white person, I got privilege. And you can do that all you want to. It's not getting you no browning points with the apostles of blackness. They'll still see you as just another white man. Let me go on. Juneteenth is not yours. Okay, now if Juneteenth is not the white man's, then why are you shoving it down the white man's throat? Juneteenth is not yours. Do not infiltrate your capitalist customs into Juneteenth. You know, because capitalism is evil. There will be no mattress sales or special edition Crown Royal bottles. This writer is really reaching. We don't need a line of Hallmark cards or 10% off collard greens. Don't try to improve it, take it over, or make it more inclusive. In other words, don't treat Juneteenth like you treat black music, black art, or black neighborhoods. Can you, I don't know. Can you expound on that? You know, how do they treat black music, black art, or black neighborhoods? Because I know a lot of people that celebrate black music, black art. Well, I don't know if they celebrate black neighborhoods. I don't celebrate black neighborhoods. There's a lot of crime in them. But anyway, I digress. Juneteenth is not the cookout. Cookout invitations are still invite only. The last edition of the Regional Executive Administrative and Legislative Newsletter for the International Council for Cookout Arts and Sciences. Wow. And it's called Real NICUS. That's the acronym, Real NICUS. Announced a moratorium on cookout invitations. Wow. These people are really reaching. Announced a moratorium on cookout invitations until the first annual celebration of Reparations Day. Y'all not going to have a Reparations Day. These politicians that you vote in all the time and you color them so much and whatever, you keep on thinking they're going to give you reparations. Keep on thinking that. Now, here it oh, man, you all, this article just gets better. It just gets better. The 10 Juneteenth Commandments. I'm going to leave a link to this. I thought I left a link in my show's description. Apparently, I didn't. But I'm going to leave a link to this. But this section of the article says the 10 Juneteenth Commandments. I want you all to sit down and put your seatbelts on because this is going to be a bumpy ride right here. As a white person, you may not have heard about the 10 principles of Juneteenth. I'm a black person. I ain't heard about the 10 principles of Juneteenth. Ain't nobody heard about the 10 principles of Juneteenth. Matter of fact, I think the 10 principles of Juneteenth were made up by this writer. As a white person, you may not have heard about the 10 principles of Juneteenth, but trust me, they're a thing in the black community. Which black community? Which one? They were developed in the late 1890s by the Reverend Samuel Aloysius, I don't know how to pronounce that, Samuel Aloysius Lovelace, best known as the first clergyman to pray until the food got cold. More sarcasm, I see. Commandment number one, thou shalt not have any holidays before Juneteenth. Juneteenth is the most American holiday. Ha! Y'all crazy. You all would prefer to wave a red, black, and green flag than a red, white, and blue flag, but you want to say that Juneteenth is the most American holiday. Since when? Only reason anyone would be against it is if they were still lamenting over the loss of slavery. So everyone with a Confederate flag. You see how condescending they are here? Not only condescending, but kind of stupid. Plus, when those slave owners sent the Declaration of Independence to King George, most of America, black people, women, Native Americans, white people who didn't own land, were not included in the all men are created equal part. Now, they like to use that to say that America was founded on slavery. Slaves existed in this country before this country was dubbed the United States of America. Keep that in mind. And by America fighting for its freedom, it also led down the line, it may have been a longer time, but it led down the line to the slaves being freed as a result as well. Like I said, we wouldn't have had a Juneteenth without a 4th of July. So keep that in mind. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Now, that's an original Ten Commandment, but here they take that commandment and they twist it out of context. No calling the police. Oh, okay. So if I get a criminal, if there's criminal activity going on in my neighborhood, I'm not supposed to call the police? just for this one day, don't be afraid when a black person is cooking out in the park or walking around existing. This day is about freedom, remember? Can someone tell me how many black people get harassed because they're out cooking out or whatever? Or walking around existing? It seems like LeBron James may have injected some of his rhetoric into this. This day is about freedom. Look, folks, let me tell you all something. I ain't never been harassed by white folks simply for existing or walking down the street. Never. But, you know, this the mentality up in their craniums. Commandment number 3, thou shalt not whitesplain. Telling us how you already knew about Juneteenth doesn't mean anything. You're supposed to know. Really? Well, as a black person, I think I was supposed to know about Juneteenth, but I didn't learn about it until a few years ago. Black people know about Columbus Day, St. Patrick's Day, and President's Day, but we don't brag about it. Oh, yeah, President's Day. You know, that includes all the presidents, including one guy named, Barack Obama. Whitesplain. Wow. Commandment number 4, thou shalt not take the Juneteenth name in vain. You know what? These people are in trouble of taking the Lord's name in vain, because that's one of the Ten Commandments too, and they just took it and made it their own. No one needs your input. Perhaps the best thing you can do to honor Juneteenth is to keep its name out of your mouth. Oh, really? So why did you make it a national holiday? Why are you celebrating it becoming a national holiday? Stupid. This thing existed without you for a century and a half. No, it didn't. Juneteenth started last weekend. Let's see. Let me go on. I tell you, folks. Commandment number 5. Wait a minute. Oh, take this. Oh, before I go on to commandment number 5, it says, take this for instance. And they're showing a logo of the San Jose Sharks, the hockey team in San Jose, California. And the logo is showing the shark biting the chains of slavery. And they're saying, we didn't ask for that. Well, then why are you shoving it down people's throats then? And they don't like that. They say, we didn't ask for that. Absolutely no one asked for that. Commandment number 5. Thou shalt not cover thy neighbors anything. You all see how they're taking the original Ten Commandments and they're twisting them around and making them their own. You know, well, you know, that Bible, that's a white man's religion. Anyway, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's anything. Don't ask a black person for anything on Juneteenth. Leading the Juneteenth celebration at work is not part of, oh, wait a minute, let me read that again. Leading the Juneteenth celebration at work is not part of Keisha in accounting's job description. Plus, it's kind of racist. Would you ask your Native American friend to give a talk on Thanksgiving or Columbus Day or Independence Day? So why are you all trying to shove this down the rest of America's throat? That's the question I keep asking. I know I'm being redundant, but apparently these people don't get it. Also, there's this thing called Google. Yeah, apparently y'all don't use it. Y'all want to sit there and talk about white people not knowing history. Apparently, a lot of you all don't know history either. Commandment number 6. Remember Juneteenth and keep it holy. Y'all see how they're perverting the Ten Commandments? Don't disrespect Juneteenth by wearing kente cloth or cornrows. Yeah, don't wear that kente cloth, because that kente cloth represented a tribe of people that sold black people into slavery. a tribe of black people that sold other black people into slavery. So, yeah, don't wear that kente cloth. And please don't attempt to celebrate by singing slave songs. Negro spirituals are not made for Caucasian vocal cords or acoustic guitars. We don't need a Juneteenth anthem. Okay, well, if that's the case, then pop music ain't made for black voices. You like the sound of that? For much of its history, pop music was white music. And then black people came in, they took it over, and, you know, they revolutionized it and everything. But nobody talks about cultural appropriation then. And I ain't got no problem with a person crossing over and celebrating another racist music or anything like that. I have no problem with that. But, you know, they want to talk cultural appropriation. And they said that, you know, we black people, we invented rock music, we invented this music, we invented that, and the way people came in and took it and made it their own. Well, there's some things y'all culturally appropriated too. The blonde wigs you see these women wearing. Have you ever seen a natural blonde black woman? I haven't. A lot of these black women with straight hair, that's not natural either. But we don't say anything about that. But anyway, let me go on. It's easy for me to get into a rant or go off on a tangent, you know, because my mind, I got a mind like a Category 5 hurricane. Sometimes it wreaks major damage on my intellect. So I need to bring it back in, you know, bring it in. But Juvenile, Frankie Beverly and Maze already handled that. Really? Okay, I don't know what they're saying by that. But anyway, lean not into thine own understanding. When this person stands up before God and has to give an account and is judged by God on judgment day, oh boy. I would not like to be there at that time. But anyway, lean not into thine own understanding. You don't have to teach anyone about this holiday. So why are you celebrating it being a national holiday? If they're black, they don't need it. If they're white, I'm sure they'll get by like their kinfolk did for the first 155 years. They didn't know about the holiday. If they're any other person of color, they rolled their eyes and said, what does this MF want now when they spotted you headed toward them? Yeah, what do you want? What more do you want? Yeah, what do you want? You're free just like anybody else. You have the same opportunities that everyone else has. What more do you want? Don't sit there and say, oh, I don't have the same privileges as a white person does. That's a lie. That's a bald-faced lie. You cannot say that living in the United States of America. Let me go on because I'm about to go off. I'm about to go off. This is unnecessary. Okay. And there's this picture. And it shows a American flag, and I guess that's the Juneteenth flag, I guess. I'm not sure what that flag is. It says Juneteenth can be celebrated in many ways. We encourage you to find a virtual event or one in your neighborhood, host your own backyard party, prepare some traditional foods like strawberry red soda and watermelon, barbecue meats, and prepare other soul food items like collard greens and cornbread. Support black-owned businesses. Visit an exhibit or museum dedicated to black culture, or help make Juneteenth a national holiday by singing Opal Lee's petition, whoever that is. Someone tried to celebrate Juneteenth the other day. I forget where it was. I think it was in a school or something like that. And they were serving fried chicken and watermelon, and people said that was racist. When I know of white people that enjoy fried chicken and watermelon, I don't know why that is so racist. I don't know why anyone ever thinks that eating fried chicken, portraying black people eating fried chicken, collard greens, and watermelon is racist. I never understood that. It's food. And if you want to say that is racist, well, I think it's racist when you say that white people don't like to season their food. I think that's racist. Let me go on. I tell you. Commandment number 8, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's blackness. Now, oh boy, I tell you, I told y'all this is going to be a good one. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's blackness. Again, Juneteenth is not the cookout. You don't get a one-day pass to use the N-word or wear blackface on Juneteenth. If you regularly use the N-word, take a day off. I don't know where they're getting this from. So any holiday that commemorates a black person, black people get out there and say, yeah, I can use the N-word. Yeah, I can use blackface. I've never seen that. And see, that it seems like this writer is making stuff up as he goes along. Thou shalt not steal. This includes labor, land, wealth, elections, opportunity, education, due process under the law, the right not to be murdered by police officers, voting rights. Now, you all, it's a whole lot I can unpack right there. This includes labor. Okay, tell me what labor have white people stolen from black people? What land have they stolen? What wealth have they stolen? Because we got some rich black people in this country. Elections. What election? What election? Which one? This year we had an election. Last year there was an election that was stolen. It was stolen from a white man named Donald Trump. Yeah, I believe last year's elections were stolen. You don't agree with me? Tough. I still believe it because I can look at the evidence and say, wait a minute, something here ain't right. Opportunity. You got the same opportunity that every white person has. Education. Come on, y'all. Come on. Now, this one ticks me off because I grew up in the 70s and the 80s. And when I was in the first grade, I was reading on a third grade reading level. Nobody kept education away from me. And let me tell you, most of my teachers were white and thought the world of me. So don't give me this garbage that white people are keeping you from getting your education. No, they're not. You're keeping yourself from getting an education because you're not taking advantage of the opportunities that are out there for you. And I know I'm going to sound kind of mean when I say this, but this is why a lot of you all's children grow up to be a bunch of idiots, because you all don't take the time to help them along in their education. But you want to sit there and blame the white man. Get out of here with that mess. Due process under the law. Who says y'all don't suffer due process? Oh, I get it. The same crime that they convict a black person of, they don't do that with a white person. Tell that to Derek Chauvin. The same crime that they'll execute they'll send a black person to the gas chamber, but they won't do it for a white person. Really? Apparently you haven't been alive lately. You must have been living under a rock or something. The right not to be murdered by police officers. Police officers murdered white people too. It ain't just black people that have fallen victim to rogue police officers. It's been white people too. Tony Tempa, Daniel Shavers. The list goes on and on. Voting rights. Voting rights. You have the same rights to vote that everyone else does. And I don't give me that garbage about Georgia's voting rights law. Don't give me that garbage because they are less restrictive than the state of Delaware and the state of Colorado. So don't even go there with me. we want to boycott Georgia because that voting law that they just passed, it's going to hinder more black people from voting. Tell me, how is it going to keep you from voting? And someone please tell me, how does asking people for their ID when they vote violate their civil rights? Someone please tell me. And see, they throw this venom around, and it's too many black people that suck it up, that drink up this venom. I'm just saying, try something new. Yeah. Why don't you try something new, something called the truth? Commandment number 10, thou shalt purchase gifts for thou black neighbors. Just kidding. I know you don't have any. That's insulting. So apparently it's just 9 commandments, because the 10th one, they're just kidding. There you have it. Now you can celebrate Juneteenth like a true American. And if you feel the urge to switch something up, hold it in your mouth and think of the lyrics to the Juneteenth carols. Back that tail up. And that's the article. And Michael Harriet, and this article is dated, I think, June the 18th, 2021, on the Root. And I'm gonna see if I can leave the link real quick. And I'll leave it to you guys, and you all can check it out for yourselves. It would be comical if it wasn't so condescending. You know, this is garbage. Juneteenth is garbage. And if you want to celebrate it, that's fine. That's fine. But don't look at me as a black man and say that I'm supposed to celebrate Juneteenth, because I'm not going to celebrate it. Because first of all, June the 19th, 1865, affected a relatively small group of black people. And to look at me and say, you're black, you're supposed to celebrate this day, this is our Independence Day, I tell you in a heartbeat, no. I got 2 Independence Days. July the 4th, 1776. And yes, I say July the 4th, not July the 2nd. July the 4th, 1776, and October 21st, 1986. That's the day I became a born-again Christian. Those are the only 2 days of independence I know of. And to say that Juneteenth is my actual day of independence simply because I'm black, no. I'm sorry. I mean, really, and I mean, this is, folks, and Dead Shepherd, the Root is low-hanging fruit. Yeah, they are. They're very low-hanging fruit, and the reason why that low-hanging fruit is because it's so easy. It's really so easy to punch holes in their little rhetoric. It really is. But see, folks, by me being a Christian, I believe that no matter what race you are of, you are created in the image of God. There's no black, no white, no yellow, no brown, or anything like that. We are created in the image of God. God does not hold one race above the others. That's why I think the way I do. Because, see, when I became a Christian, I took it seriously. I didn't say, okay, Christianity, you're going to be convenient to me you know, some of the time, but when it comes to my blackness, I'm putting you to the side and I'm going to grasp to my blackness. And this is the main reason why I have told people, I said, there are going to be a lot of black people who spend eternity in an eternally warm climate because they care more about their black skin color than they do about the truth of God's word. They care more about their skin color, their politics, and their civil rights more than they do about the truth of God's word. When it comes to the truth of God's word, no, I don't care about the truth of God's word. It's going to take a back seat because I'm black. The first thing I am is a black man. That's a mentality of a lot of black Christians out there. And a lot of them going to be surprised when they stand before God on Judgment Day because they sang all the hallelujahs. They can memorize the whole hymnal, the whole Baptist hymnal and whatever. But when they stand before God, God's going to be like, no, mm-mm. You're not coming in. But I did this, I did that. But you hated your white neighbors. And folks, don't tell me that Juneteenth isn't about hating your white neighbors. A lot of these grievances, when you get these white folks talking about the evils of the white man and folks, every race has its evil in it. But when you get these people always talking about the white man this and the white man that and the white man this, that you are showing your hatred. And God is not going to allow hatred to come into his kingdom. You can sit here and talk about white people don't season their food. That's white hatred. So what if they don't season their food? So what? And I don't know of any white person that doesn't season their food. I've tasted food from some white people, and that food was delicious. But when you stereotype them that way, that is showing your hatred. And, oh, my goodness, Dead Shepherd, oh, my goodness. Thank you. Skin color has become a religion for a lot of people. And I'll take you even further. Skin color has become an idol to a lot of people. It's become an idol. Remember when the Ten Commandments that says, thou shalt not have any other God before me? A lot of people put their skin color before God. Bump you, God. My skin color comes first. But anyway, man, oh gosh, this first hour has gone by so fast. But anyway, I'm gonna let you all marinate on that, and let me do my little advertisements, and I will see you on the other side. You are listening to Black by Color Only on CNM Radio.
Welcome back to the Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, and, of course, companionship. Now, let's see him in action. Look how he makes eye contact with this person. That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive, and now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance will come in with this group.
But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Conservatives are always fighting to find a place they can call home. And every time we find one, the leftists in this nation take that away. Well, we have a new home now, and all you have to do is go in and join. Bite Me in the Basement is that site where we can join in to get our voices heard by others who feel the same way as we do. Just join BiteMeInTheBasement.com and join us for a rousing discussion of American patriotism and become a member. Learn things that you can do to help America become great again, to stop the lawless things that are going on, so we never have to see another fraudulent election like the one that put America-hating Joe Biden into the White House, and now he shouldn't even be there. That's BiteMeInTheBasement.com, and join patriotic Americans for a vision for a future America.
everybody. Welcome back to the show. Glad you can be here. If you would like to call in, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That is 646-478-5284. And before I go on any further, I would like to take this time to show my appreciation to Robert Garding, who is the host of this channel. I was on his show Friday of last week, and he told me that this program, Black by Color Only, has been the most listened to radio program on the CNM channel for the past couple of weeks. And I really appreciate that. And I just want to let people know that I don't do this to gain an audience or something like that. That would be good. That would be nice and everything. But I just do this because, you know, there are a lot of us in this country that have something to say. And this website, Blog Talk Radio, gives you the outlet to speak what you want to say. You know, a lot of times we're familiar with the Rush Limbaughs and the Sean Hannitys and the Mark Levins, and we're all familiar with those people, but there are people in this country that have something to say as well, which is why I want to give a high five to a lot of these parents who are standing up to their school boards and telling them, we do not want critical race theory taught here. You know, so, but I really appreciate the compliment and whatever. And I'm not, you know, as long as God allows me to do this, I'm going to keep on doing it. You know, there may be some setbacks along the way and whatever, but as long as God will allow me to do this, I will keep on doing it. And I just wanted to show my appreciation to Robert Garding for allowing me, you know, to open up my program on his channel, you know. And when I come here, I have an unusual style, I guess you can say. I a lot of times I play by ear, you know. A lot of times I don't even prepare for a show, and a lot of times I can wing it. I can wing it because, you know, like I said, I got a Category 5 hurricane up in my brain. And I tell you, my mind goes 90 miles a second sometimes. And it's like the information just keeps coming. And when you're in a atmosphere, political atmosphere or current events or atmosphere of current events that we've been going through for the past several months, it's become real easy to do a show, you know. And like I said, I wanted to do this particular topic last week because I was really chomping at the bit, you know. And I was like, man, you know, and folks, oh, we're celebrating Juneteenth. Yes, Juneteenth. It's not going to change anything. We'll still have the same grievances and everything. And like I said earlier in the show, I believe the apostles of blackness will not be happy until every last white person is wiped off the face of the earth. And I sincerely believe that, because we can say, okay, black folks, we'll give you this. This will make you happy. And nothing will satisfy the apostles of blackness. Another thing that won't satisfy them is if they if a black person is no longer convicted of any kind of crime, that'll make a lot of black people happy too, because, you know, we're victims, and, you know, we shouldn't have to be going to prison for a crime, and, you know, because we've been oppressed for so long. No, you're a criminal, and you need to suffer the same fate that white folks do. And while I'm at it, can someone please enlighten my mind on where we get this 400-year thing from? People keep saying that black people were in slavery in the United States for 400 years. Can someone please enlighten my mind on that? Because the first slave, well, really, the first slave was a black man who was owned by another black man, Anthony, was it Anthony Anderson? I think that was his name. Anthony Johnson, something, I need to look that up. But the first black slave in this country was owned by another black man, but nobody teaches you that. And from 1619 to 1862, that's just a little more than 200 years. So I don't know where people get this 400-year thing. We've been oppressed for 400 years. The country isn't even 400 years old. Well, 1619, and see, this is why I say the 1619 Project is a bunch of lies, because they say, well, you know, that's when the United States started slavery. The United States didn't become known until the 1700s, and slavery was already going on. The United States wasn't established, excuse me. The United States wasn't established until the 1700s. And when it became established, yes, there were people who had slaves. Yes, some of the founding fathers had slaves. But several of them, George Washington being one of them, they freed their slaves. Not only that, I can't find the article, but I read somewhere where it said that George Washington even paid his slaves a wage. But once July, the 4th of July, yes, I will say that, Independence Day came into effect, that was the beginning of the end for the slave trade to America. Matter of fact, the slave trade, the American slave trade ended in the early 1800s. Slavery was still going on, but the American slave trade ended in the early 1800s. Come on, apostles of blackness, get a little dose of this history here. Come on. And not only that, when, and I'm talking about Britain now, when Great Britain ended their slave trade, the people, the black folks in Africa who were selling these other black people into slavery, it cut off their flow of money. And they asked the British, why are you all stopping the slave trade? You're hurting our business down here. But see, it's ignorance of history, the reason why we have a lot of these folks believing these certain talking points, these narrative points today, because they don't know history. Someone taught the history to them. They never read it for themselves. Once again, they had every opportunity to do so, but they chose to let someone else feed garbage into their heads instead of saying, okay, I hear what you're saying, but let me check this out. A lot of us have been guilty of it. Probably all of us have been guilty of, you know, just accepting someone's word as gospel without checking out the evidence for themselves. And see, that's what we have today. A lot of people are not checking out the evidence. They're mentally and intellectually lazy, and they depending on someone to feed the information into their heads, but they don't want to go out and check it out for themselves. And then when they're proven to be not as smart as they think they are, they want to blame the white man for, you know, we don't have the opportunities for education. You got the opportunities. You're just not using them. You have the resources. You live in the freaking United States of America. We have libraries. We have the internet. We have Amazon. And see, me, I'm not a person who likes to check out books from the library. I like to buy mine. And I'm reading a book right now called Civil justice is not biblical justice. Social justice is not biblical justice. Whenever I find out, you know, the author of that book, I'll give it to you. And there's another book that I just finished too by a man named Vaughty Bachman, and he wrote a book called Fault Lines, and that's an excellent book. And last year there was a book by a man named Vincent Ellison called The Iron Triangle. Great book too. And one thing all three of these authors have in common is that they're Christian men and they don't understand why black people keep falling for critical race theory. They don't understand it. I don't understand it either. Jesus Christ has set you free. You're living in the freest country in the world, and you want to sit here and talk about some grievance you have with white people? Oh, white people this and white people that. You know, white people they don't like to show manners when they come around black people. This morning, my wife and I went to Raleigh, North Carolina, which is hop, skip, and a jump from Durham, and we went there, and we were the blackest things there, me and my wife. And we were in a community in Raleigh, which had a heavy Hispanic population. And what we would do, we would go knock on their doors, and we'd give them a little pamphlet telling them, you know, we're from such and such a place, and there are free groceries for you out in the parking lot. And, oh, my goodness, you all, I was so impressed. I was like, when my wife and I, we were with these other two ladies, when we finished passing out our flyers and we came back to the station where they had all the food and the groceries, you should have seen the people who were lined up to get that food. And not only that, one guy, he came up, he was like, what church are you all with? Because it's several churches working in one area. And they said, well, it's such and so church down the street here and everything. He wanted to know the address of the church and everything. And I'm sitting there like, oh, my goodness, this is where we're missing it. This is where we're missing it. I mean, and not only that, when we finished passing out the flyers and everything, they gave us the people, you know, who sponsored the event, they gave us trash bags, and they wanted us to go around the neighborhood and pick up the trash. And I was like, wow, okay. So we went around picking up trash too. Now, how much do you think that'll affect people when they see you in their communities passing out free groceries and picking up the trash, helping to keep the place clean? I was impressed. I was like, oh, now this is what we should be doing. Because when the people see that you're out there serving their communities instead of just, you know, welling on them, and they see you serving their communities in that type of capacity, that's what's going to cause people to open up their hearts to the Lord. And you got some churches, and I don't mean to sound like I'm preaching or anything like that, but you have some churches, they say, well, I'm not going to be feeding a bunch of devils. I'm not going to be giving food to people, and they go out there and live like the devil. But those are the people that Jesus died for. And I was sitting there, I was like, oh my goodness. And see, me and my wife, we had planned this earlier this year to, you know, go with the same group, but we had some problems here at home, and we couldn't go. And this time, when it came around, I was like, you know, I really want to go this time. I want to go. And we went out there. They sent us to a community in Raleigh, And like I said, we knocked on doors, gave people little flyers, and you should have seen all those people out there getting groceries, free groceries. They had a truck, they had a pallet of all these boxes of groceries and everything, had something for the kids as well. And I said, now that's what Christianity is about right there. It's not about how many people you can get into your church or anything like that. It's about serving the community. And you cannot say you're serving the community and you're not going out and helping to feed the hungry, which can lead to the lost being saved. I'm off on a little tangent, but that's what me and my wife did this morning. And it was hot. It was humid and everything. It was sweltering this morning. But I was looking around. I was like, oh, my goodness. It made an impression on me because here in Durham, I was part of a church, and we used to go out and knock on doors, but we would share the gospel with them. But we didn't do anything to serve those communities. We did nothing to serve those communities. But here today, I was like, this is what serving a community is about. And like I said, me and my wife, we were the only black people there. It was mostly white people. Had some that looked like they were Hispanic or whatever. But the kids that were there, they a couple of them were black. But me and my wife, we were probably the only black adults there. And I enjoyed myself. I had a good time. I was impressed. I was like, now you see these people out here seeing us doing this, what do you think that's going to do to them? And that man asked, what church are y'all part of? Someone came out there, gave him an address. Hey, here's the church. I'm just saying, it was humbling this morning. It was very humbling. And I was glad to have been a part of it. And it gave me some ideas. If I had the resources right now, I'd be like trying to start something here in Durham. You know, let's go to these communities. Let's show these people the real love of God. But anyway, I don't know how I got off onto that. Basically what I've been talking about is this Juneteenth thing. And all Juneteenth does is cause more division. That's all it does. That's all that Juneteenth does. And when I read that article and I saw that part about, you know, white people should be thanking us for giving them a day off, but you want to sit there and say that white people shouldn't be trying to appropriate this day and this day belongs to us and everything. So why in the world did you make it a national holiday? Or why in the world are you celebrating it becoming a national holiday? The only reason why it became a national holiday because you had a bunch of guilty white folks in our government who want to say, hey, black people, we're not racist. Look, we gave you Juneteenth. You think that's going to make them happy? No, it's not going to make them happy. That's why if, like I said, if you want to celebrate Juneteenth, you go right ahead. I have no problem with you doing that. But when you try to shove it down everybody else's throat, now see, that's where the problem comes in. And I know there are people out there who probably call me a coon and a sellout because I don't celebrate Juneteenth. Well, I'm sorry. I'm not going to celebrate Juneteenth. We're down with the brown. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the government hacks. We got to show everybody we're down with the brown. Yeah, we care about your cause. Nah, what you care about, I'm talking about the people in the government, what they care about more than anything is your votes and your money. That's all they care about. They don't care about you as a black person. And see, that's the problem in the black race today. We think the government is there to help us out because we've been disadvantaged for so long. And government, you need to step in and help us out. But the more that the government, quote unquote, steps in to help you out, the more dissatisfied you are with your situation. It's not enough. What more do you want? Really, what more do you want? Hillary Clinton pulling that hot sauce bottle out of her purse on national TV, sickening. Yeah, it was, yeah. Hey, black people, look, I got hot sauce. That's all she was doing was patronizing. And a lot of us fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. Oh, look, Hillary, she's got hot sauce in her pocketbook. Shoot, knowing Hillary, is probably tomato juice made to look like hot sauce. I carry hot sauce in my pocketbook. Yeah, right. She probably only had it there because she knew she was going to meet up with a bunch of black people, and she was going to be like, yeah, impress the black people. I can get some more votes. She took a picture with Leslie McFadden, who was Michael Brown's mother. Yeah, get me some votes. That's all it was about, getting votes. That's all it is, votes. And once you get the votes, the money can start rolling in. That's why a lot of these congressmen and women, they're making $100,000 a year, but they're living in $4 million mansions. That's all that is. And sad to say, I'm going to say this, but the PR campaign of the liberals is excellent. They got the wrong message. They got the right method, but the wrong message. Their PR campaign is top-notch. That's why they are able to hoodwink a lot of people. When you have a good PR message, but you have the wrong message, that leads to the deception of a whole group of people. But that's, and yeah, the man is every color. Yes. Yes, Dead Shepherd. Yep. The man is every color. Because I listen to these black people. They say that black people cannot be racist because we don't have the power or the authority to be racist. But you got black congressmen, you got black mayors, black senators, black representatives, black governors, black principals. And you want to sit there and say that black people can't be racist because they don't have the power. Once again, you're letting someone feed information to you and you don't have a thought process. So once they feed that information to you, when the time comes, those words just fall out of that hole in your brain and into your mouth, kind of akin to a bullet falling into the chamber before it is fired. Black people can't be racist. Oh, yeah, yes, they can. And I will go so far to say this. Black people in this country are the most racist people in this country. Black folks in this country are the most racist people in this country. It's not the Ku Klux Klan. It's not the Aryan Nation. Black folks in this country are the most racist people. I know that's not going to go well with some people because you've been taught different. But see, I've observed this thing for more than 50 years, so I've observed it. And I'm going to tell you, I have encountered more racism from black people than I have from white people. I've never even met a Klansman. If I was with a white person and that person was a Klansman. I didn't know it. I didn't know it. Racism has nothing to do with power and authority. Exactly, Dead Shepherd. Yes. It has nothing to do with that. All racism is hating somebody of another race. That's all that is. Looking down on people of another race. Holding your race above other races. That's racism. Anyway, let me do this. Look out for the fruit bats. I sound off that alert right before I go to the phones. And I might, your phone number might look familiar and whatever, and I might know that you're not a fruit bat. But I just get into the habit of doing that. I'm going to do that every time I go to my phones. But if you are going to be a fruit bat, and fruit bats are these people that like to come in and disrupt the show and talk down the host and inject character assassination, things like that, I will hang up on you. So if you're going to come in here and be a fruit bat, then you're going to suffer the curse of the fruit bat. So just giving you that warning. And having said that, let me go to the phone. Hello, welcome to the show. Hello. I'm not hearing anything. Hello. Okay, let me put that on mute. I'm not hearing anything. Put that back on mute. Yahweh Kai says, I receive more hate, name-calling, and belittling from folks who look like me than any white person. Yeah. Yeah, same here. Same here. And I've said this on the show several times. The people who used to give me the most problems when I was growing up, and I grew up in the 70s and the 80s, were black people. Talking about my skin color, my nappy hair, how I walk, the sound of my voice. Made fun of my inabilities to do certain things, you know, like playing basketball or something like that. They were black people. I had a few white people give me some problems too, but most of the racism that I suffered when I was growing up came from black people. So when they get up and they talk about the white man this and the white man that, I'm like, nah. And the thing that angers me more than anything are these so-called black leaders that get up here and they act like they talk for all of us. You don't speak for me, brother. And see, I'm not going to walk in the same kind of hatred that you're walking in. And a lot of these guys, these race hustlers like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and William Barber and all the rest of them, all they doing, they're just using you to get some money into their pockets. That's all they're doing. Race hustlers. what's his name? Booker T. Washington described them, saying there's a class of people they don't want the wrongs of the black people to be righted, because if they do, they'll lose their money. And nobody looks at these people and says, hey, wait a minute, what kind of neighborhood do you live in? I don't see you in the hood. I see you living in them white neighborhoods. I see you got gated. You're living in a gated community. Wrought iron fences around your house. But you want to talk like you're one of us. I don't know why people don't call these folks out. And these are the same folks that get up there and talk about the evils of rich people, but they're filthy rich themselves. These people are millionaires, living in nice homes, driving nice cars, Rolls Royces and Cadillacs and Lexus. And they want to sit up there and talk about evil, rich white men. Well, what about evil, rich black men? Race pimps. Yep, that's what they are, race pimps. Ambulance chasers, that dude Ben Crump. Now that every time a black man gets gunned down by a white police officer, here comes Benjamin Crump. Here comes Al Sharpton. We need to stop this slaughter of our black men by the white police officers. But see, here's the problem with that. This shows you people really ignore the facts. When you start talking about black on black crime and how black people are killing more black people than white police officers are, and they sit there, oh no, there's no such thing as black on black crime. Well, if I, as a black man, see you walking down the street and I beat you over the head, crack your skull open, and I steal your money, what do you call that? That's black on black crime. But that's a lie. That's a lie by the white man. Well, what about white on white crime? And see, when you start talking about white on white crime, see, what you're doing, that's a diversionary tactic. You're trying to detract away from the bigger issue. We're not talking about white on white crime. We're talking about black people who go around here talking about white police officers killing black people and talking about, oh, we're being decimated. But the people who are decimating us the most are other black people. But we don't want to talk about that. I have a website called blackbycoloronly.com. And I have a section there called Their Names. And I got a list of names. I've been kind of neglecting that section for a while, but I got a lot of names to add to that page called Their Names. Check out those names. And when you're checking out those names, ask yourself, have I even heard of any one of these names that are being listed on this page? Ask yourself that. Because a lot of these names, most of us don't even know. Most of us don't know Sequoia Turner, who was gunned down because her mother drove into the wrong section of Atlanta and the little girl was gunned down by members of Black Lives Matter. We don't remember the name of Jasmine Barnes, who was gunned down sitting in a car with her family, and her family described the shooter as a white man driving a red truck. And it turned out that it was two black guys. Oh, we don't remember their names. We don't remember their names. A girl a few weeks ago just graduated from high school several hours earlier, gunned down. gunned down at a convenience store. Going to celebrate her graduation. Girl gunned down. Black girl. But, oh, Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. Do they really? Do Black Lives really matter? Or do they only matter when those lives are taken by white cops? Got another caller here. Let me get this caller. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Oh, I'm just a listener today. First time on your show.
Okay. All right. Thank you there. Okay. All right. But yeah, we're Black Lives Matter. Where you at, huh? Y'all give me a second. Okay, folks, I'm back. But,
okay.
Folks, what about names like Anaya Allen, Kennedy Hobbs,
okay.
Ronjanae Smith, Justin Wallace, Aiden Leos, Tyrese Taylor, Marcellus Gude, Cornell Hill, Bryson Christian, Jasmine Burrell, Yameek Johnson, Mackenzie Ridley. How about them names? These are names I'm going to add. I'm going to add to their names on my website. Do you any of you all recognize those names? These were teenagers. Most of them were teenagers, killed. Murdered black folks, but oh no, they don't get the same treatment as the George Floyds or the Michael Browns or the Trayvon Martins. Oh, forget those who were gunned down by black violence. Yeah, they might get some local people, you know, marching up and down the street talking about stop the violence. But they don't get nationwide attention like a George Floyd or a Breonna Taylor or a Sandra Bland. And this is the problem with black people today. How are you going to criticize black people? You're supposed to be black yourself. All you do is demean and degrade black people. No, I'm not demeaning and degrading them. I'm telling the truth. You don't like black people. You hate your own race. You can come out with the character assassinations all you want to. And see, a lot of people who accuse me of this, these are so-called Christian people. So-called Christian people. Who's supposed to know better? Who's supposed to be about righteousness? Who's supposed to be about justice? Falsely accusing someone of a crime they didn't commit is not justice. Accusing a whole race for the shortcomings of another race, that's not justice. And if it's not justice, it's not Bible. Yeah. And that, Shepherd, it's amazing that you bring that up, too, you know, about the O.J. Simpson case. You know, the only person who got convicted of a crime during that was a guy named Mark Furman, because he had supposedly said the N-word back some years ago, and he was the only one that ended up getting convicted in that case. And O.J. walked free. and they painted him as a racist. I don't believe the man was a racist. Man, what you talking about? That's Mark Furman. He is a racist. No, I don't think he is. I'm not saying he didn't say the N-word, but just because he said the N-word doesn't mean he was a racist. Because if that's the case, every black person is probably a racist, because one time or another, all of us probably said the N-word. I won't say the N-word here. I would say it if it was my own channel, but I won't say it here on someone else's channel. But that the N-word doesn't offend me one bit. It doesn't offend me at all. And the only reason why we bleep it out is because it offends people, not because it's really, well, yeah, it's a strong word, and I don't think anyone should be using that word. Like me, I'll only use that word when I'm trying to describe a situation or whatever, but I don't use that word in reference to someone else. I don't think it's a nice word to say. I don't think it's cussing, but I don't think it's a nice word to say either. But when a white person says the N-word, all of a sudden that person is racist. But you got these rap artists, these gangsters, and don't let two black people square each other up and want to fight each other. You're going to hear that N-word all the time. You're going to hear it constantly. But no one's going to accuse them of being racist. And I'm like this, if it's racist for a certain group of people to say the N-word, then why use it anyway? Why use it at all? I'm just saying, why use it at all? Oh, we black people, we use it as a term of endearment. Once again, you talking like you speak for all of us. I don't use it at all. I don't say, hey, my N-word, what's up? I don't do that. It's not a term of endearment. Because most of the time, when a black person uses that word, they use it to insult. How do I know this? Because I'm a black person myself. I grew up around black people. And it's time for us to take the mask off and start walking in the truth. Stop blinding our eyes to the truth, because that is the problem in our black communities today. We ignore the obvious, and we want to point the finger at other people. Oh, the white man this and the white man that. No. You got the same opportunities as white people do. And ain't no white man holding you down. You're holding yourself down. Ain't no white person holding you down. And of course, a lot of us, we're so tuned to Hollywood. Whenever Hollywood does something and they show a so-called social issue, we all want to follow. Yeah, that's what happens in the black neighborhoods. No, it doesn't. These white people, they got us living in the projects. I don't live in the projects. I don't live in a favorable neighborhood, though, but it's not the projects. I ain't never lived in the projects. When I grew up in a middle-class family. When Christmas came around, I can't remember one Christmas where we didn't get a lot of gifts. And folks, you're talking about a man who grew up in the 70s and 80s. Christmas came around. There were times I knew I wasn't going to get anything for Christmas. Christmas come around, oh man, good gracious, look at all these gifts. Had a roof over my head, food to eat, clothes to wear. How in the world am I going to reach the stage of manhood and sit there and talk about the evils of white people? How in the world? Let me tell you something. The evils of white people is the same evil that black people are dealing with too. Because there's some black devils as well as there's some white devils. Because we are all humans. We are all part of the human race. This is why I talk the way I do. And I'm talking from experience. I'm not talking from something that someone showed me. I'm not talking because I seen something on a conservative news show or something like that. This is not why I speak the way I do. I have some experience. And I also like to see two sides to a story. I want to be about the truth. That is what I want to be about, is the truth. Let's see, I got another caller here. Let me get this caller. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. Hello, caller. 615. Okay, I put that caller back on mute. Sometimes people call in and they just want to listen to the show. That's okay. That's good. But like I said, I don't like to use my skin color as an excuse for my shortcomings. That's not what I'm about. I'm not going to sit there and say, "Oh, okay, I didn't get ahead because I'm black." And I don't use my skin color to set the course for my emotions. Did you see that? He gunned down that black person. Yeah, but did you see the black person try to gun him down? No. I don't use my skin color to make excuses for my shortcomings, nor do I use it to set the course for my emotions. I see myself as an individual. And see, that's a problem right there, because a lot of black people think we live in a monolithic collective. One black person's got to think the same way as all the other black people. And see, I don't want to be a part of that group. I don't want to be a part of that clan. But because you don't think like the collective wants you to think, you are a renegade and you are a rebel and you are subject to all kinds of cute little names that they have for you. Names that, ironically, they glean from racist white people. Like coon and N-word and all that other stuff. You're a coon. Okay, I'm a coon. You know what? I just might make me a t-shirt with a raccoon on it. And on the back of it say, "Coons of the World Unite." You know, knowing me, I probably do something like that. You're a coon. Okay, I'm a coon. But I'm a truthful coon. This coon's going to tell you the truth. And if I say anything out of the way, I'll correct myself and say, okay, I was wrong then. Because that's all I want to be about is the truth. This is not a black man trying to kiss up to white people or trying to get favor from the white man or anything like that. All I want to be about is the truth. That's all I'm about. A lot of people don't see it that way, though. They don't want to see it that way. They feel threatened when one of their own steps out from among their ranks and decides to think for himself. They feel threatened. They take it personally. It's like an insult to them when someone like myself says, I don't want to be a part of that. And I don't. And yeah, some of your comments might sting a little bit. Yeah, they'll sting a little bit, yeah. But it's not going to get me to change my mentality. You're a coon. Ooh, okay, that hurt. But you know what? You're still wrong. That's That's just how I am. You know, I want to be about the truth. I'm not gonna judge a group of people for something their ancestors did 200 years ago. I don't judge white people based on slavery. I'm not going to do that. Why? Because none of these white people ever owned me as a slave. I've never been a slave. They've never been a slave owner. So why in the world am I going to hold this up against them? Oh, okay. Let me get you here. Hello. Welcome to the show. Excuse me.
Hey, how you doing, Vince?
Hey, how you doing, Dead Shepherd?
I'm good. I'm glad you're at it. 2 hours strong, man.
I tell you, man.
The thing that you made me think of was the old saying, we become what we hate. And you made me realize, and this applies to me too, because my hatred was directed toward government for years. Not really hatred, really just anger. It's slightly different, obviously, than racism, but it is still an oppression, and I know it'll never go away, ever, no matter how many laws are passed. It's about spiritual development and the evolution of us as a species before our need for government goes away. And the need to be oppressed, unfortunately, is a subconscious desire for most of us. That's just one of those crazy things. But anyway, back to my point. I digress, as you say. If a person of color is mad at white people, go ahead and be mad all day long. I'm not going to take that away from you. But what you're doing is you're using your skin color as a form of privilege. And you want special treatment, and you want special laws, and you want special holidays. And what you've done is you've done what we all do. You've taken what people who have oppressed you have done to you, and you've turned it around, and now you're doing it to other people.
Yes.
And
that's
it's just a vicious circle.
Yeah. And that's what I've said over the years, you know, because a lot of us black people, we felt like at one time the white folks hated us. Now we got our freedom. Now, okay, well, let's direct that hate right back at you. And it's a never-ending cycle. And it's like, when does it stop? Who's going to stand up and say, no more? I'm not going to allow this to continue. I'm not going to be part of the hatred. You know, it's crazy mess.
There's an analogy that I'll use. It's a bit of a stretch, but I think it applies. I battled drinking for years in my life. No excuse. No one beat me. No one molested me. I just thoroughly enjoyed it. I loved it, even when I was at my most miserable. But the thing of it is I used to say, not in a blaming way, it does run in my family. It was just part of the culture that I grew up in my family. And my father owned a couple of bars when I was a kid, that type of thing. But in the end, I have to make a conscious choice. I can break this chain and I can continue, or I can continue doing what it is that I'm doing and just say, well, you know, like that old Hank Williams Jr. song, it's a family tradition. Okay, that was a big hit for him.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know his intention when he wrote it, but it was a catchy tune and it did well. But the thing is I can stay there and do what everyone else did, which in this case would be my family and the culture I grew up in, or I can change it, and I did. And then, you know, just so happened to have gone back to it for about 5 years and got tired of it again and decided and knew that it wasn't healthy for me and that it was killing me, and I walked away from it again. But hatred and it's all about the thinking process, all of it. It doesn't matter what it is. And think about this. You kind of made me think of this. How many people out there, no matter who they are or what their skin color is, let's say they're really angry at a group of people. For me, it was government. It could be black people hating white people hating black people. And I always say it's the same analogy. If I woke up tomorrow and everyone in the world was exactly like me, would all of my problems magically disappear? And the answer is hell no, because this is about consciousness. This is about changing me from the inside out. And that takes work.
In other words, it has to do with you being an individual.
Yeah, absolutely. And what does it say, Vince?
Exactly.
How are we going to be judged? How are we going to be judged by the Most High? He's not going to bring them in 20 at a time.
No.
That's not what the Bible tells us.
Oh, no.
It's an individual judgment.
No. I tell you, you're going to stand alone there. You're going to be like, oh, okay, where my buddies at? Mom, Dad, where you at? Oh, no, buddy. Today is just you and me.
You know that nervous look we would get when we were a kid, when we look behind us, left shoulder, right shoulder, shit, where are my friends?
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah. No. It's going to be like, wait a minute. Okay, it's just you and me? Okay, yeah. And God's going to lay it out. He's going to show you. And it's going to be like, hey, you know. And a lot of us, we're going to be very disappointed. We're going to be very disappointed, you know. Because
you know what's funny? When he's looking in the book of life, there may be just a moment when he's looking down at the book, and you know the beads of sweat are going to be popping off of some folks' forehead. I'm not saying they won't be popping off mine. Hell, I'll probably be nervous too. But if you trying to cook up any kind of excuse or lie, he can already read your mind, so don't even try.
yeah, exactly. Yeah, don't even try. You know who you're talking to right now, right? You know.
Exactly.
Creator of the universe, you know, knows every atom, can count every atom in the universe.
this is a good show, and I wanted to just kind of share with you real quick. It's amazing how when a person of a specific group of people, you being that specific person of a specific group, it's amazing how you can just simply say, look, these are the facts. Let's be logical about this. Let's be rational. And be absolutely demonized by people that happen to be in a particular group that you happen to be in. This happens to be skin color, the group that I'm talking about. It could be anything. It could be we're talking about you belong to Mensa, and you stand up and talk about all the corruption and the ridiculousness in the Mensas, and then they start cooking you in the media and demonizing. It's the same thing. And that was a silly analogy, but it's the truth. It's like, damn, why are these people turning on me? Well, here's the thing. It's because you're cutting into what they use to get through the world, and that's victimology. And the Democrat Party, as an example, not picking on them, they have been playing this tune since the founding of political parties. And more people are understanding that, but more people need to know that. It's like, everything that they project out, and somebody said it in the comments earlier, everything they project out and accuse people of, they're doing it behind closed doors every day.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
Sad.
And it's all just a bunch of eye service, really. And see, that's how I see it. It's just a bunch of eye service. You know, they just want to show themselves to be something that they're really not, you know. And, man, I tell you, I'm looking at all these comments in my chat room, and I'm telling you I'm seeing so much logic in here, you know. I find it incredible, and it's kind of I find it kind of heartwarming too, because it lets me know that I'm not an island to myself. You know, well, I might be an island, but there are a whole bunch of other little islands in my group and everything. It's very encouraging to see that. You know, when I talk about my sister Yahweh Kai, who I've known for more than 10 years now, and you know the logic that she uses in her rhetoric and everything, it's very encouraging to me. And it's things like this that encourage me to keep going on with the fight, even though you might fight alone sometimes, it's lonely. When you wield the truth, it's going to be a lonely time sometimes. But you just got to keep doing what you do. And as folks like yourself and you know, other people that come on my chat page, you know, they are really an encouragement to me. And I'm really appreciative of it.
One thing I don't see in your chat room is emotion. And it doesn't mean that those people don't have the capability, obviously, but I don't see that. And that's a good thing, because if you were to walk into a prison right now and interview 100 inmates, whether they're men, women, or a mix, it doesn't matter. Color does not matter. If you had an honest conversation with them and they were honest with you, they would tell you that most likely they were under the influence of a chemical when they committed the crime that they committed. And number two, they did not use any logic whatsoever. They reacted to their emotion, and that's why they got in the position that they're in right now. That's a guess.
That's a guess.
But unless you're a very, very high-end, high-tech burglar or thief of some type, that takes a lot of logic and a lot of logic and a lot of reasoning to be able to do that. But those people are the exception and certainly not the rule. I'm just talking about everyday folks like us, you know. Emotion does not win the day. Think about all of the great intellectual arguments that have changed the course of nations in the world, all over the world, all cultures. They weren't one with emotion. They were one with logic. Great show, yeah. Vince. Thanks for opening up the mic. I'll shut up now. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Dad. Thank you. I appreciate it. And, we're in the archives right now, and that was great. I think his name's Gregory. That's great what he shared. And that's another thing too. When you do these things, I know I sound a little passionate a lot of times when I do my program and everything, but you can't be a person of emotion, because sometimes emotion will cloud your logic, and you have to think with a clear head. And see, this is a problem I see with a lot of people in the liberal mindset and the critical race theory. They're all emotion, and they use that emotion to shut people down, and you can't get a word in, and they just ride on their emotions and whatever. But I appreciate that, and just want to let people know, yeah, I'm in the archives right now. Yeah, emotion doesn't found nations, exactly. Just want to let everybody know, appreciate you guys in the chat room, Dead Shepherd, Yahweh Kai, always a pleasure. Next week, God willing, let's see. Oh, wait a minute. I probably won't be doing a show next weekend, because next weekend is my wife's birthday. Next Saturday is my wife's birthday. July the 3rd is her birthday. And I plan on taking her to the beach. I love the beach. Yes, sand and palm trees are my drugs of choice. So, but next weekend is my wife's birthday. And, of course, 4th of July, someone might invite me over to their house or whatever or something like that. So next weekend, I won't be having a program, but in 2 weeks, God willing, should have another edition of Black by Color Only. And for those of you all out there who carry the truth and I want to encourage you to continue to walk in the truth. No matter how many people come up against you, don't let their emotions wear down the truth that God has placed in you. Okay? So, having said all that, this is Vincent E. Brown. I am signing off. And until the next time, I'll see you on the rebound. Y'all have a great Saturday.